أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية أمير المؤمنين والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام، والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. صلى الله وسلم عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله، وعلى آل بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين، صلى الله وسلم عليك يا أبا عبد الله، يا ابن رسول الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، يا باب نجاة الأمة، يا غريب يا مظلوم كربلاء، ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم ففزتم، فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الحكيم وهو أصدق القائلين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يتول الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا فإن حزب الله هم الغالبون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. ما صلي على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that He provides for us opportunities such as these, where we gather in remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Next, we send our condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And to each and every one of you, as we gather in commemoration of the istishhad anniversary of his grandfather Aba Abdullah alayhi salam and his companions and family members alayhim abdalu salatu wassalam. One of the most important obligations that we have as Muslims is tawalla and tabarra. These obligations of tawalla and tabarra are things that we teach our kids from a very young age, isn't it? Especially the recitation of the words tawalla and tabarra. These are not unfamiliar words when it comes to our belief structure. We teach our children this from a very young age. Tawalla is loosely translated love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we love for the sake of God, this is known as tawalla. Or to love the friends of God is also known as tawalla. And tabarra then would be to hate for the sake of God. Yeah? Not hate because my emotions tell me to hate something. Not hate because it is something that I personally dislike. My personal emotion and likes and dislikes are not what God is concerned about. When He says that we have to practice tawalla and tabarra, it is loosely translated as love for the sake of God and hate for the sake of God. What is very beautiful about the tragedy of Karbala is that we see within it a clear divide between those whom we are supposed to love and those whom we are supposed to hate. Yeah? The line has been made, the line has been marked very clearly. There is no room for interpretation, for me to say, well, let me reinvestigate. No, the lines have been drawn. Yeah? And it's not that the lines were just drawn in that particular environment, in that particular date, in that particular land. The lines were drawn from then, and these lines continue till now. So it's not like that, it's not that the people whom we should be hating and loving have changed. Yeah? They're exactly the same, and they continue till today. And this was the beauty we described in the very first night, if I'm not mistaken, that in Medina, when Walid bin Utbah brought Imam alayhi salam to his castle for him to give allegiance to Yazid. Yeah? Imam alayhi salam recites a very beautiful line which is known till today. He says, "Ayyuhal Amir, O ruler, Inna ahlu baytin nubuwa wa ma'adinur risala wa mukhtalaful malaika wa bina fatahallah wa bina khatamallah." Subhanallah. This is a beautiful, beautiful speech given by Imam alayhi salam. I wish we had time to analyze it. But first he says that we, instead, when he was asked to give allegiance, the Imam says, we are that family of the Prophet. We are that house in which the angels came down. We are that house in which taught Islam. By us it is that God began, and it will be by us that God will end. Yeah? Everything. Khat bina fatahallah wa bina khatamallah. Then God started with us and God will end with us. Wa yazidu rajulun fasik. Sharibul khamr qatilun nafsal muharrama mu'linun bifisk. And he said, while Yazid is a man who is a fasik, he openly sins. He is a drunkard. Yeah, he kills innocent lives. And then he says one of the most beautiful lines that should be really something that we should remember all the time. He says, "Mithli la yubay'a mithla." He says, people like me do not give allegiance to people like him. Yeah. He didn't say Hussein bin Ali does not give allegiance to Yazid bin Muawiyah. If he had said that, then yes, that line that was drawn between Haqq and Batil in Karbala would only be applicable for Karbala. Yeah? But because he said people like me don't give allegiance to people like him, that means this line is a perpetual line. It is a line that will exist forever until all creation has come to an end. People like Hussein bin Ali do not follow people like Yazid bin Muawiyah. Yeah? This is where the beauty of Karbala resonates. This is why we still gather. Yeah? Because there are so many things that we can learn from this tragedy of Karbala. However, unfortunately, yeah, and it is, I believe, an unfortunate part of life, is that we have taken tawalla and tabarra for granted. Yeah? In the sense, what we mean by that, we have taken it for granted, we feel that the mere proclamation of my love for Hussein, the mere proclamation of my love for Ali alayhi salam, is enough for God to accept my wilaya of theirs. Yeah? Is it me merely saying, I love Hussein, I love Ali, that will be enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, well, he said so, so it should be okay. Yeah? Remember in the very beginning as well, when we talked about misfortunes and bala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Ankabut, He says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. He says, does mankind really think that simply by saying, I believe, I will leave them alone and not test them on their belief? Yeah? Why should we then think that simply saying that I love Ali, I love Hussein, is enough of a... is enough proclamation for that to be accepted? Same way when I say that I hate Yazid, I hate Muawiyah, that should be enough. Yeah? This is unfortunately where we have reached to, in the sense that we have taken these concepts of tawalla and tabarra for granted. We feel that this simple proclamation is enough for us to fulfill our duties and responsibilities when it comes to tawalla and tabarra. Yeah? When it's not. Yeah? Inshallah, tonight and tomorrow, tonight we will discuss tawalla, tomorrow we will discuss tabarra. It is the deep analyzation or understanding of this particular subject that will show us the importance of this obligation, and as well what our duties are with this obligation. Because again, when we look at our hadith and when we look at the Quran as well, tawalla and tabarra are considered to be the greatest obligations that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Greater than salah, greater than siyam, greater than hajj, greater than anything. The foundation or the firmest handhold of faith is tawalla and tabarra. To love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. We get a very beautiful tradition reported from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala. Truly that was a pitiful salawat. Ya sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. My brothers and sisters, salawat is our badge of honor. Yeah? If we are not proud to recite blessings and send blessings on the Prophet, then what are we proud of? Yeah? Everything, you know, the ethos behind salawat is that everything that the Prophet has done for us, who brought us out of darkness and into light, the least that I can do is send salawat upon the Prophet and his family. Yeah? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Our sixth Imam alayhi salam reports from the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. One day he said to his companions, "Ayu ural iman awthaq." He says, "What is the firmest handhold of faith?" Yeah, ura is basically the plural of the word urwa. Ura is in or urwa in the Arabic language now today is used for buttonhole. Yeah, so once you put your button inside the buttonhole, it won't come off. Yeah, there's a firm handhold there. It is firm. The same thing, when we apply it, God here or the Prophet here is saying, what is that firm handhold that once you hold on to it, there is no letting go. Nothing can separate you from it. Ayu ural iman awthaq. What is the firmest handhold of faith? So the companions replied the way they should reply. They said, Allah wa rasulahu ya'lam. He says, Allah and His Prophet know better than us. But the Prophet says, still, tell me, what do you think is that firmest handhold of faith? So some companions replied, Salah. Some replied back, Siyam. Some replied back, Zakat. Some replied back, Hajj. To all of this, the Prophet said, لِكُلِّ مَا قُلْتُمْ فَضْلٌ وَلَيْسَ بِهِ. Everything you mention has merit and is important in Islam, but it is not the firmest handhold of faith. To which they replied, then what is it, Ya Rasulullah? To which he says, Awthaq, ural iman, al-hubbu fillah, wal-bughd fillah. The firmest handhold of faith is for you to love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tawali awliya Allah, wa tabarri min a'da'illah. Yeah? And to be friends with those who are friends with God, and to be free of those who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? You know, when we talk about this ura al-iman, we said that ura comes from the, ura is the plural of the word urwa. Yeah? Where have we heard urwa before? Do you know? We've heard it, right? Urwa. It's playing in your minds, I can see it. Yeah? It comes from the verse La ikraha fid din. Qad tabayyana rushtu minal ghay. Faman yakfur bit taghut wa yu'min billah faqad istamsaka bil urwatil wuthqa. Yeah? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, we recite this verse all the time. Yeah? God says in this verse, the one who disavows the taghut. Yeah? Taghut are who? The rebels. Yeah, the oppressors. He says when one disavows the rebels and commits to faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has held on to the firmest handhold of faith. This verse is talking about tawalla and tabarra. Yeah? One who disavows the taghut is doing tabarra. One who holds on to God is doing tawalla. And by doing so, God says they have held on to that firmest handhold of faith about which, what does he say? Lan fisama laha. You will never let go of this rope. Yeah? If you do this. If we practice tawalla and tabarra, there is no way that we will be able, that we will be disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, you know, it's considered such an important obligation that we have. Certain important wajibat that we have, this concept of tawalla and tabarra. There's a very beautiful hadith It is a hadith al-Qudsi that is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And he says to Nabi Musa, Ya Musa, hal amilta li amalan? Subhanallah. Yeah? That's a very scary question to be asked by God. He asks Musa, subhanahu wa ta'ala, asks Musa, Oh Musa, have you done anything for me? Yeah? Subhanallah. Yeah? Imagine, we fast our whole lives, yeah? We pray our whole lives, we give khums, we do matam, yeah? Then we reach God and He says, Oh Ja'far, have you done anything for me? Yeah? It'd be a very shocking moment, wouldn't it? So Nabi Musa alayhi salam replies back in the same manner that we would think to reply back. He says to Allah, Ya Allah, sallaytu lak, wa sumtu lak, wa tasaddaqtu lak. Yeah, he says, Ya Allah, I prayed for you. You know what we think, yeah? We're praying for God, isn't it? Yeah. He says, Ya Allah, I prayed for you. I fasted for you. I gave sadaqah for you. Yeah, وَذَكَرْتُ لَكَ and I remembered you. To which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Ya Musa, all that you have done is for you, it's not for me. Yeah, your salah is your burhan, it's your proof that you will show me. Yeah, your sawm, your fasting is your protection from the hellfire. That sadaqah you gave is your shade on the day of judgment. Yeah, all of this is you. So God says again to Musa, O Musa, فَأَيُّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتَ لِي What have you done for me, O Musa? Yeah, at this time Musa realized, yeah, that God is asking about something else. Yeah? So Musa says, دَلِّنِي عَلَى الْعَمَلِ أَلَّذِي هُوَ لَكْ يَا اللَّهِ He says, show me to that action which is especially or specifically for you. Yeah? It is specifically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Musa, Ya Musa, هَلْ وَالَيْتَ لِي وَلِيًّا وَعَدَيْتَ لِي عَدُوًا He says, Oh Musa, have you loved someone for my sake? Have you hated someone for my sake? Yeah? Not because my emotions want it, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? That means even if I meet a fellow brother, a mu'min, who I may not see eye to eye with, because God has commanded me to love that believer, I love that believer. Yeah? I love that believer. I don't care what ethnicity he is. I don't care what his habits are. Because God has asked me to love them, I love them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And it's at this time, Musa says, فَعَلِمَ فَعَلِمَ مُوسَى Yani Musa understood at this time, أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْأَعْمَالِ الْحُبِّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ That Musa at this time understood that the best action, afzalul a'mal, he says, yeah, the best action one can do is love for the sake of God and hate for the sake of God. You know why it's considered to be the best of actions? Yeah, because it is this particular action which is the manifestation of complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Islam is what? To submit to the desires of God, to submit to the will of God, isn't it? What shows more submission than to submit my own desires and emotions for the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah? Therefore, when God says, I love this, I don't ask a question, why Allah? I love it automatically. Automatically, I love it. When God says, I dislike this, I don't ask why. I dislike it, even though my nafs may want it. Yeah? Even though my soul may desire it. Yeah? Even though my soul may not understand it. I submit to the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned this, isn't it, a few weeks or a few days ago. Yeah? We do this for the people that we love. Yeah? My child says, I love this color. I go buy all the toys in that color. I don't ask, why do you love that? I just do it. I just do it. Yeah. My wife says, I love this food. I'm going to go out and get that food, isn't it? Yeah. I don't ask why. I want to get in the good graces of my wife. Yeah. The same thing applies for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God has clearly defined to us in the Quran that which He loves and that which He hates. You know, we don't have time to go into this concept. Love from the research, the limited research that I've done, and the limited knowledge that I have, in my conclusion, yeah, love is the most important element of success in our life. Yeah, the most important element. If we can learn to fall in love with God, yeah, to fall in love with God, yeah, we will be successful in this life and the next. Because love automatically means that I will do anything and everything for Him. Everything. Yeah? Anything He asks. Yeah? This is why God says in the Quran that believers have ashaddu hubban lillah. Yeah? They don't have ordinary love for God. He doesn't say the believers have hub fillah. He says the believers have this deep ashaddu hubban lillah. And this is why, you know, even when we look at the Quran, when God in the Quran, I think nearly about 40 to 50 verses describes that which He loves and that which He hates. Inna Allaha yuhibbu as-sabirin. Inna Allaha yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Yeah? And so He describes all of these things that He loves. Why? For us to know, right? So that we can do it for Him, right? But then when it comes to the things that He hates, He doesn't say, Inna Allaha yubghidhu this or that, or God hates this. God says, Inna Allaha la yuhibbul fasad. Yeah? He uses the word of love again to say, look, if you're tapping into my love, know that these are the things that I don't love. Yeah? Not hate. God takes such a gentle approach when it comes to Him wanting us to imitate Him or to follow Him in those things which He loves and He hates. So we understand that tawalla and tabarra are the foundations of Islam because it is made up of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entire concept of tawalla and tabarra, I am letting go of myself. I am letting go of my soul for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Now, to understand tawalla better, yeah, because tonight we're focusing on tawalla, and I know, yeah, that dinner is after, yeah, so I got y'all, yeah, and there's nowhere for you to go, yeah. Previously, you know, people were saying, wow, you're reciting only 45. They didn't know that I was waiting. I was taking that time to add it to tonight, inshallah, yeah, and tomorrow. And as somebody mentioned to me, time goes back an hour today, huh? Subhanallah. Oh, everything's adding. Everything is working to our benefit today. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma. So to understand tawalla better, as we said, tonight we're going to be discussing tawalla. Tomorrow is tabarra. Yeah? To understand tawalla better, we need to first understand the concept of wilaya. Yeah? What is wilaya? Yeah? We're going to give a very brief description of what wilaya is. For those who are interested, I did a two-part lecture for Ghadir and Mubahila of this year on what is wilaya. Yeah? So it took me 100 minutes to discuss wilaya. I'm going to do it in 5, inshallah, here. Yeah? It doesn't mean I'm ending in 5. I'm just describing it in 5. Yeah? Wilaya and tawalla, they both come from the same root word. Yeah? Wow. Lam ya. Yeah? Wow, lam ya is the root word of wilaya, it is the root word of tawalla, it is the root word of wali, it is the root word of awliya. Awliya is the plural of wali. Okay? So just for the future, because we're going to mention these two words. Waliya is the root word of mawla. It is the root word of mawali. This conjugation appears 232 times in the Quran. Waliya, in its different conjugations like we've described it. Yeah? As mawla, tawalla, wali, mawali. All these conjugations appears in the Quran 232 times. And in its root, yeah, the root word of waliya, it means to be near or close in such a way that there is no distance between the two. Yeah? So when you say that I am his wali, yeah, in the pure linguistic essence, what it means is that him and I, or her and I, are in such sync that you would not be able to tell us apart. We are the same. Yeah? We are so close to one another. Okay? So this is just the simple conjugational aspect about wilaya, or the word waliya. The concept of wilaya, now wilaya is translated as guardianship, okay? So when we talk about the wilaya of somebody, we're talking about the authoritative figure that they have. Because the word wilaya or wali or mawla, because of its different uses, does have about 17 different possible meanings, okay? So as we discussed, remember in the fourth lecture, we said to our 12th Imam, As-salamu alayka ya mawlai, ana mawlak. We use the same word to tell our imam that may peace be upon you, my mawla, I am your mawla. Yeah? The reason mawla can be used in this way because mawla has numerous meanings. Mawla can mean friend, mawla can mean master, mawla can mean servant as well. Okay. For the sake of time, believe me when I tell you that wilaya in the sake of God means guardianship. If you're interested for proof, go back to these two lectures I mentioned. Okay, wilaya, when we talk about wilaya, we're talking about authoritative guidance or authoritative guardianship from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we discuss the concept of wilaya, especially from the Quranic angle, there are three important points to understand about wilaya. Yeah? For us to understand tawalla properly, we need to understand these three points of wilaya. The first point of wilaya is that this wilaya originates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the guardianship and the authority automatically begins with God. He is the guardian of everybody. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah number 22, verse number 78, فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so maintain the prayer, give zakah, and hold on fast to Allah. Hold fast to Allah. Wa'tasimu billah. Why should we do this? Huwa mawlakum. Because he is your mawla. Yeah? And then he says, فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. And what an excellent mawla he is, and what an excellent helper he is. Right? So from this verse, we understand that God is the wali. This wilaya originates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The second point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then assigned certain people to be his representatives in wilaya. Meaning he has given the power of wilaya to certain hand-picked people. Yeah? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 55, the very famous verse we should all know, isn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Yeah? He says, indeed, your wali, yeah, is only innama. Innama is what is known as adatul hasr. Adatul hasr in the Arabic language means that when innama together is used in one word, it means that indeed only these. Yeah, so it restricts who else can come in there. So for example, when I say innama kana hadiran fi hadal majlis fulan wa fulan wa fulan. Yeah, I said, surely at this majlis there were only three people who attended. That means guaranteed there was nobody else who attended. Yeah. So when God says, innama waliyukum, indeed your walis are only, that means nobody else can be included in this besides the people God has selected to be our wali. Yeah. It means that wilaya cannot be done through saqifa. Wilaya cannot be done to voting. Wilaya cannot be done through election. It is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So he says, your wali is only Allah wa rasulahu. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. And the Prophet and the believers, those who established their salah and they gave the zakat in the state of ruku. Yeah? Yani who was the one who gave zakat in the state of ruku? Yeah? Ahsantum. Yeah? Ahsan, there was only one person in the history who did that. You know, according to some narrations, it says that the second says that I gave so many rings in my ruku, but never a verse came down for me. Yeah, never a verse came down for me. Because this was done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't done for the sake of popularity. It wasn't done for the sake of people to know who you are and you've done it. Yeah. So what the point here is that God says your wali are only these. Yeah. And again, this beautiful is Allazina, those who maintain. So it's plural. It can include more than one person, but God has limited it. Yeah. God has limited who can be our wali. Now the question may come up that how do we know that we're talking about authority and we're not talking about different types of wilaya? The fact is that when God uses the noun waliyukum, yeah, innama wali, then he mentions three people, all of whom tie back to the same noun. Yeah? Means that the same description that goes for one goes for all. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. If God had said, "Innama waliyukumullah wa waliyukumur rasul walladhina amanu," then we could have said, well, obviously, the wilayat that has been described for God is different than the wilayat that's been described for the Prophet, because God mentions the noun wali twice to denote that there's a difference between them. That makes sense? Yeah? Right? But the fact that God just says, innama waliyu, your wali is only these three people, it means that the same wilayat that refers to God refers to the Prophet and refers to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Y'all got that? Yeah? Should I repeat it? Tell me if I repeat. I will. Yeah? Do I need to repeat it? No? Alhamdulillah. Yeah? So, what we understand then is that then it is God who selects certain people to be His wali. Yeah? Now, obviously, the wilayat that God brings and deserves is different than the wilayat of those He appoints. Right? There is a vertical hierarchy here. So we're not saying that the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, who are the awliya of God, have the same authority as God. There's a night and day difference. There's one who appoints and then there's others who are appointed. Yeah? There's a big difference between that, isn't it? Right? But that again can be discussed or found in the other lectures that are out there. So the first two points about wilayat are this: that first, it originates from God. Yeah. Second is, God then designates and appoints certain people to be His awliya, yeah, over creation. That means they are guardians and have authority over the rest of creation. The third and critical aspect of wilaya is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects the creation to submit.